Father, we come before you this morning, God. And Lord, this is one of those moments in life where it's hard to see you working, God. But Lord, we know and we believe that you are, God. And we put our hope and our trust in you. God, I pray, Lord, that these next few minutes, Father, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, God. I pray that you would challenge us. And Lord, most of all, God, I pray that we would make much of you, Father. Lord, even in our situation, even in this moment, Father, where we aren't doing things the normal way, God, Lord, you are still on the throne. And God, we worship you this morning. God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Lord, as you speak through your word, God, I pray, Lord, that you would humble me in such a way, God. Lord, may my words be of you this morning. God, all around this city, all around this country, Father, God, I pray this in the name above all names. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is so good to be with you this morning. I wish you were here. I got to be honest with you. I wish you were here. But I started thinking about it this morning. There's a lot of benefits to us doing church this way because you have the opportunity to hit the pause button. You have the opportunity to kind of turn the volume down when I get a little bit loud. But there's also some benefits for me as well because I don't have to watch you just in case you fall asleep during these next few minutes. You can do that on your own time. But seriously, so glad that you are here. I want you to know that I love you. I have been praying for you, and I am excited to open up God's Word this morning. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to get there in just a few minutes, but if we were to say something this morning, I think that we would all agree that our lives has been disrupted in a big way these last few weeks. But I believe by reading God's Word that God can use them in our lives to test our faith. I believe He can use testings and trials to strengthen our faith. I believe He can use them to bring about repentance in our lives. I also believe He can use trials and tribulations and all of these things to get us moving in a different direction. So my heart this morning is that I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you that we must dig deep into the Word of God. That we must allow Him to work in our lives because it's amazing how quickly fear and anxiety can slip into your lives. I know this has been a rough week for many of us, but I've been struggling. I have prayed more, which is a positive thing, the more than I have in a very long time, into what we know is to be true, and that is the hope of Jesus Christ. That is the hope of Jesus Christ. And as I was preparing for this message and I was thinking about this, God put this on my heart. So if you're taking notes, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, but I want you to write this down. Whenever challenge given us a promise to help us through it, God has already given us a promise to help us through those difficult situations. And I want to read some of those for you to let you know what I'm talking about here. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous hand. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my compassion on us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory. In your staff you comfort me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. And one you know very well, Romans 8:28. And we know that according to his purpose. This morning's passage, we're going to be looking at a story that many of you know very well. It is literally out of Genesis chapter 2, and it's speaking of a man by the name of Abraham. And if you've got your Bible, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region I'll tell you about. Now, for us to fully understand what's going on here in this passage, and for us to understand the magnitude of this test, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now God had to remind Abraham many times in his life when he got to the point of despair of the promise that he gave to Abraham. Now, I don't know about you, many times it's easier for me to be obedient to the promises of God when life is good than when things are difficult. You know, if I'd have been Abraham here, I'd have been like, all right, you know, where do you want me to go? You mean I get to be a blessing to all people? Yes, please, all right? And he easily went in that moment there. And the promise continues in Genesis chapter 15, and he's reminding Abraham in a difficult situation, hey, I've already promised that I'm going to go before you. I've already promised that you are going to be into a great nation. I am going to work mightily in your life. Here's what he says in Genesis 15:3. He's reminding Abraham after a very difficult time in Abraham's life. He says, and Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Verse 5, he took him outside and said, look up into the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now I want to stop there for a moment because Isaac, the son that God just asked Abraham to sacrifice, was a part of that fulfillment that he was going to be a blessing to all people. And what's interesting here is it's in Genesis 15:6. If you skip down there, it literally says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. You know what's interesting here is just as quick as Abraham believed God, he just as quick took things into his own hands. You ever been there before? Maybe you have been trusting in God and life has been good. You just got a promotion. Your kids just hit the honor roll or whatever it was. You're like, man, life is so good right now. And then this past week, you're like, man, life is a struggle. Life is, I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, which sounds kind of biblical if you ask me, to live day by day. But there's times in our lives where testing comes and conflict comes and the unknown comes. And let me tell you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But Abraham, even though he was promised by God over and over again and confirmed in him, Abraham, I've got this. Genesis chapter 16, we won't read that for time's sake. I want you to read that on your own time, maybe later this afternoon. But he got ahead of God. You ever been there before? You got tired of waiting on God? All right, God, like I know that you're going to use me, and like, when's it going to happen? God, I know that you've called me to this, but when is it actually going to come to fruition? And the choice that Abraham made and his wife made at that time has had repercussions all around the world, even today, because of the choice that they made to not wait on God, to not trust God in that moment where things were not easy. You see, it's easy for us to say we believe and trust in God, but it's much different to actually live it out in trying situations, or maybe in times of waiting, maybe in times where life is not good, maybe a relationship has gone bad, or maybe the whole world is on alert, in which the moment that we live on now, the uncertainty of what's going to happen tomorrow, what happens if they close this or close that, or what happens if I lose my job, or what happens, and let me tell you, if we are not on guard and we do not dig deep into the Word of God, we will be like the wind and the waves that get thrown here and we get thrown there. Anxiety will come in, fear will come in, and it will consume us to the point of we start losing hope in who Christ is. I'm so thankful God continues to remind us in His Word, Brandon, it's going to be okay. I've already overcome the world. I have already conquered that. Yeah, things are difficult, but I told you they were going to be difficult. Stand firm on the Word of God. So God tested Abraham. Wouldn't it be easier if testings and conflicts never happened? Anybody would be like, you know, obviously nobody's here to raise their hand. Maybe you're at home, you're raising your hand right now. I'm going to have to get better at this as we're doing this type of service. But it's interesting because many times things happen in our lives because of the effects of the broken world that we live in. And until Jesus comes and takes us to a place that He's already prepared for you, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there will be struggles. There will be things that take place that rattle our faith. There will be situations where we start to lose hope. And I love what 1 Peter 1:7 says. It says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more precious than mere gold. You see, like anything else of value, it will be tested to see if it is authentic, to see if it is real. It's kind of like a ship. It can't prove that it is well built or that it can overcome the raging seas as it continues to stay on the dry dock. Not until it gets out into the elements, out into the world, out into where it's created to be, to make a difference and to overcome those things. God has created you, and God desires to work in and through you so that when difficulties arise, that we would dig deep in His Word and that our hope would be expelled in our lives and it would be an outflow to those around us who are in despair. Take your son, your only son whom you love, and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. I'm just going to be very authentic here. My response would have been like, did I hear that correctly, or was that dinner speaking from last night? Like you're asking me to do what? You want me to do this? Like God, do you not understand that the promise that you gave me, and Isaac plays a huge part in this? Like, how's it going to happen? God, how are you going to work this out? Lord, why is this happening? And I love that many times in our lives that we have those questions and that we can go to the Word of God to find that hope and that peace and that confirmation of God's promise to you and I. Some of us might be asking some of those same questions in our own lives at the moment. How are we going to make it through this? How are we going to recover? How is our economy ever going to come back from this? Am I ever going to go back to work again? And I know the kids are just dying to know, when is school going to get back in again? I can't wait to go back. But we have so many questions. And here's the thing, questions are okay, but we can't let those questions wander and let our mind wander and let our heart wander, because here's the thing, as we saw last week of the story of Cain and Abel, that the devil is waiting at the doorstep, prowling to do something in our lives and to take us away from the hope that is found in Christ Jesus. Like any test, Abraham had to make a choice. Years ago, when I was in school, I was not a straight-A student. I'm just going to be very real with you this morning. I wish I'd have been a little more with it in school. I wish I'd have cared a little bit more in school. But one of the things that I remember about school was, and I quickly learned, is the importance of studying for tests. Anybody else? It's very important to study for tests, because if you don't, bad things can happen, all right? I'll just leave it at that, okay? But some teachers preferred multiple choice. I love multiple choice because, you know what? You had a chance, all right? You had a chance. Others like the true and false, which is even better. I got like a 50-50 chance here. True or false, you know? It doesn't really matter. I might get this correct. While others like the essay-style test, where you had to just write out a long answer, and it was up to the teacher whether or not they liked your answer or not, all right? But no matter what form the test may have taken, I always knew that I would be required to make a choice. And there are right choices, and there are wrong choices. But I had to make a choice, and I had to make a decision, because if I left a question blank, you know where I'm going with this, all right? That was the same as giving the wrong answer. And so as Abraham was tested by God, he had to make a choice of how he was going to respond in that moment. Put yourself in the shoes of Abraham right now. Like, God, you want me to do it? Like, that makes no sense at all. Why would you want me to do that? Why would you ask me to do that? Why is this taking place, and why is this happening in my life? You see, we must choose to be obedient. We must choose to live by faith. We must choose to allow the sovereignty of God to lead our lives. We also must prepare for whatever it is we are going through or what we are about to go through. Look at verse 3 in chapter 22. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. You see, in this moment, Abraham could trust in the Lord with all of his heart, or he could lean on his own understanding. And I don't know about you, my own understanding of this situation is, you know what, I don't think so. God, I can't do this. God, my lack of faith in you, I can't continue to pursue you in this moment. God, please, please take this away. Jesus told his followers that sooner or later, all of us will have to answer that kind of test question. At some point in our lives, we will be faced with the decision of what's more important to us. And we'll be tempted to compromise our relationship with God in order to try and keep them both. You see, your testing, it demands an answer. May we choose hope over despair. Hope is only found in the sovereignty and the promises of God. So maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, my life is in despair and I've never experienced that hope. And I just want to share with you that the hope that you are looking for, the hope that you desire for your life, can only be found in Christ. To not choose hope is to choose despair. Verse 4, let's keep going. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I go and the boy go over there. And I love his response here. He says, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Now, I don't know if Abraham knew that if he told the story to his servants that they're like, you know what, there ain't no way you're going. I can't let you go. Let me take that knife out of your hand. Maybe if they'd have known what God was calling him to do, they might have tried to stop him. And you ever been there before? Maybe with friends or family, and you knew God was calling you to do this or to do that or to go here or to go there, and they wrestled against the things of God, and you're like, hey, mom and dad or aunt and uncle or whomever you are, I just want you to pray about this because I feel like God is very much telling me that I need to go and do this, or I need to go and say this, or I need to go and love this person, or I need to go and pay for this person's rent. Whatever it is, when God calls us, we have an opportunity to make much of him if we walk in obedience to that calling. It's easy to say we believe in something, but it's much different to actually live it out. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. Very smart kid here, all right? The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Offerings. I think when I started understanding this scripture for the first time, I was in Sunday school and I was very young and I was like, oh, you know, Abraham's going to sacrifice his son and it's not a big deal. Abraham's son was old enough to carry the wood, which means he completely understood what was going on here. Like, Dad, this is not adding up here. Like, what's going on here? Why are we going up here? Because I've seen us do this so many times before to sacrifice things before the Lord. Like we're missing a big piece of this puzzle, Isaac reminds his father. I started thinking about this in the eyes of Abraham. Can you imagine the sick feeling he had in his stomach right now? Maybe that same feeling you're feeling right now. That same feeling I have felt several days this week. Like, God, like I trust you and I know you are good and I believe your word, but my faith is wavering. My faith is wavering, and God, I need you to come and solidify and reassure me through your word that you are good and that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. But here's the thing, people. Sometimes things don't turn out the way that we think they should. That's why we must believe and trust and the sovereignty of who God is and believe that he is in control when everything else is out of control. Maybe even your spouse or your kids who are going crazy over what's going on in our world right now. God is in control. Verse 8, Abraham answered. I love this. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Like, God is going to show up. God is going to intervene here. And it says, the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And this must have been a very awkward situation. I mean, come on here, all right? He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham had to be a godly father, because here's why. Because I believe Isaac trusted his father in that moment. Like, Daddy, what's going on here? But you told me that God was going to provide. Like, what am I doing here? You know, I think about all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all around the world, and I start thinking about that, and I start thinking about our situation. It's like, man, God's got this. God has this. There are people all around the world who are suffering, who are putting their lives on the line for the sake of Christ. And it's the same way that Isaac is here. It's like Father, we cry out to our Abba, like, God, do you not hear me? Do you not see what's going on around me? God, I pray that you would increase my faith, because my faith is wavering. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I can't even comprehend that. Isaac was the son God had promised Abraham years earlier. Isaac was the son that was to carry on the family line and grow into a great nation. Oddly enough, that's the kind of attitude Abraham had when he took Isaac to the mountain to sacrifice him. This wasn't Abraham's first rodeo. This wasn't Abraham's first faith journey or testing, and it sure wouldn't be the last in his life. You see, this situation, this doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but it does for those whose lives are grounded on the Word of God and make choices based on the truth and the promises of God. I love what Hebrews chapter 11 says. We're almost done. Verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And then it says in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. That word reason there, I looked that up just this morning. The word reason literally means it's logical or it makes good sense. So Abraham looked at this situation and he said, like, God is going to come through one way or the other. If he allows me to go through this or with this, I believe God can raise my son back to life. But I also believe that he can intervene and he can change the course and direction of my life if I will trust him in all things. Faith is acting on your belief in a God who you trust, even when trusting him doesn't seem to make sense or seem logical to other people. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do it instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, listen to this, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. You see, God calls his people to live by faith. That implies that not just any old faith is going to do. God wants a faith that changes how we live, how we respond in the good times and in the deepest of trials. So whatever we are going through in this moment, I just want to proclaim to you that God is bigger. God is bigger than your fears. God is bigger than the job that you just got let off. God is bigger than your wayward child. God is bigger than your relationship that's on the rock. Like, God is bigger, and we have to believe and trust that God is bigger than whatever is in front of us. Whether it be fear or troubles or COVID-19, if we can't do that, what are we living for? If we can't trust God in all moments, like what are we living for? Maybe that's a good question that you can have in your living room this morning, that you can have with your kids, like what's my purpose for living? What does God desire of me? You see, because sometimes it doesn't feel okay. Sometimes life is not okay, and sometimes even the best of us and those who are mature in our faith have moments of wavering. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My desire for you and for me is that we would have the courage to stand in the face of a fiery furnace and say, I know that God can deliver me. But if He doesn't, I will not lose hope, because our hope is found in Christ and in His eternal glory. Yes, church, we are being tested, but it's all meaningful and momentarily in the light of eternity. It's doing something in your life and in my life, and all of our pain from the sinful nature and the path of obedience is producing a glory that we will receive when we stand in the presence of Christ. It's worth it. It's worth it. In just a second, I'm going to ask our worship team. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to raise a hallelujah. Because I need it. I believe you need it. But church, it's time. It's time. There are people around you who are in despair, and I understand many of us who are Christ followers, we are feeling that same despair. But here's the thing, you have the hope of Christ already in you. You have the power within you, and God desires for you to tap into that, and it is tapped into when we lean heavily on the words of God. Church, it's time. It's our time. It's our time to proclaim to a lost and dying world that we serve a living God whom we praise and we talk about every single day and we preach every single week that Jesus is Lord. It is time, church. It's time for us to put the words of Jesus into action. Maybe this morning before we close, maybe you're out there, you're watching this morning. I'm so thankful. Maybe most of you have already muted me at this point. That's okay. But maybe you're saying, Brandon, you know what? I'm looking for hope. I'm looking for hope. Here's what I want you to do if you're in that situation. Maybe you don't know who Jesus is. I want you to either comment on our Facebook page, I Need Hope, or I want you to message through our Facebook page, or call the church and let us know, because we want to share with you the hope that can only be found in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we are being tested. God, I don't like it. But I feel it's necessary. I feel it's necessary in my life, God. God, I pray in this moment, I pray in the days ahead and the weeks ahead, God, that, Lord, that I would spend more time in your word and prayer than I would on Facebook. Lord, I pray that the things that I proclaim, the things that I stand for, Lord, that it would be evident in our lives, God. Lord, that our faith in you would not waver. God, I want to pray for everyone here this morning, Lord. People all over the country, possibly, Father. Lord, I pray that they would have some time with you, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them. Lord, your word says those who call on the name of you, God, you will respond. So, God, I pray that you would work in our lives. You would strengthen us, that you would empower us, and that your hope would be evident in our lives. God, we love you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.